Father, we come before you. We thank you so much for this privilege to be in your house. We thank you for this opportunity to open up your word and to be able to study your word and to learn from it. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to be very heedful of your word today and to just build our faith and to strengthen us as we get into your word. And I thank you, Father, for the examples that you've given us that we can learn from and go by. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, turn with me tonight to 2 Kings chapter 7. I'm going to read to you a very fascinating story, and we're going to pull a couple of points out of this story tonight that are something that we can take home, and it will build our faith, and it will strengthen us. And this is one of those messages I have a whole lot to say, and I'm probably not going to get everything said that I want to, but just pray that the Holy Spirit would lead me, and we will say exactly what He wants us to. Well, let me kind of give you the background here as we get ready to read. Samaria is having a horrible economic depression. They are in really tough, bad times. From what I can tell from my studies, definitely a whole lot worse than what we have now. More like it was during the Great Depression. It was really, a really, really bad situation. So as we go through here, that will make this story mean more, or make more sense to you. I'm going to be reading verse 1 through verse 16. So we have quite a bit of reading. So stay with me because it's a very important story. 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1 says, "Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow, about this time, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" In other words, he's saying, there's no way that this could happen. And he said, "Behold," and this is talking about the prophet, said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said to one another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us fall unto the host of the Assyrians, if they save us alive, and we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Assyrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said to his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of the servants answered and said, Let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. They took therefore two chariots of horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, Go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste, And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of God. Now, folks, I find that to be a fascinating story. And I said there's actually 2 things I want us to understand about this situation. First of all, no matter how bad the problem is in your life, no matter how far into the circumstances you are, if God intervenes, you can be on top within 24 hours. And I know you may be thinking, well, that's just not possible. But folks, that is very possible. We see this story here turn the economic system of this entire nation around in 24 hours. If God intervenes, he could turn the economy of America around, and in fact the entire world around, in 24 hours. And I believe he's already working on it. And we could go there, but that's not really where I'm wanting to go. And this is not an isolated story on how God intervened and how that he turned people's lives around immediately. I preached a while back about the lady with the issue of blood. Healed immediately. The lady in the Old Testament whose sons were being taken and sold as slaves to pay the family debt, their debt was canceled immediately. Joseph went from the prison, not just to the palace, but to the second in command in 1 day. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead immediately. The demon-possessed man was made whole again immediately. Paul and Silas were released from prison immediately. Peter was released from prison immediately. There are numerous people in the Bible that were healed immediately. There are many others that had miracles happen to them immediately. God can completely, totally turn our circumstances and situation around immediately. We serve a God of miracles, and many times he moves suddenly. I've got 3 stories of people, and I started to come up with some stories down here, and I thought, well, no, I don't want to pick anybody out and leave anybody else out, but I know some of you also have stories like this. But some of our friends, Mike and Mariana Traylor, worked hard for years. They tithed when they didn't have the money to tithe. They gave when they didn't have the money to give. They were faithful to the Lord. They did everything that they were supposed to do and just struggled day after day after day after day. And everybody around them was, you know, like, why can they not get ahead? But in 1 day, God doubled their business. Their biggest competitor went bankrupt, and in 1 day, all of his business came to them. So God turned their situation around immediately. Most of you, well, in fact, probably all of you remember Chad. He was here a few weeks ago. Preach for us. He's another one. Served God faithfully, gave faithfully, tithed faithfully, was in church, working for God. They were doing just okay financially. He had an opportunity to go to another position, another job actually. He worked for the electric company. The electric company did not want to lose him. So not only did they give Chad a $6 an hour raise, they gave every lineman on that position a $6 an hour raise. So not only did God intervene and change Chad's situation, through Chad, he changed it for all of the linemen in that company. Rick Gregg worked for years. It's just part of the heat and air crew up at the University of Arkansas. Just one of the laborers, if you want to call it that. He went from working on the crew to being the head of a new department in 1 day. Folks, that's people I know. Those are people that I can vouch for and testify for that God intervened in their life and changed their situation. And a lot of times we get so focused on the situations and the problems that we forget about God's ability and God's promises to us. That's why we need to be faithful to God. If God has made us a promise or promises concerning our circumstances and our situations, then we need to rise up and we need to stand on the promises of God. We sing that song, Standing on the Promises, but we're not real good at it. We'll stand on them until we're faced with the circumstances and situation, and then we'll start looking at the circumstances and situations instead of standing on God's promises. And you may be thinking, well, God doesn't move immediately or suddenly every time. That's true, He doesn't. And we're going to be talking about that more here in just a moment. But it's also true that in many cases, He does. In many cases, He does. Many times, we miss God's miracles because we are not looking for them. The Samaritans were sitting in their city waiting to die. Four lepers had the wisdom to say, if we sit here, we're going to die. If we go into a city, we're going to die. Let's at least do something to try to turn this around. And they were led by the Lord, I believe, to go to the camp. And if you notice, it said that when they went to the camp of the Syrians, that God made the feet of four men sound like a vast array of horses and chariots and even hired soldiers coming after them. So when we do what we're supposed to do, God can completely turn the circumstances and the situations around for us if we will be actively doing something. And if you look at the list of people I read earlier, they were people that were taking action. The lady with the issue of blood, we preached on this a while back, she said, if I can only touch the hem of His garment. She was pushing through the crowd. She was doing everything within her might and strength to get to Jesus, to get the miracle that she needed. The lady who was deep in debt, she called for the man of God to seek His guidance and to see what she should do. Joseph, we know from reading God's Word, was serving God to the very best of his ability in prison while waiting for God to deliver him. A lot of times we get into our problems and we forget about serving God for some reason. We get so focused on the problem and leave God out. We shouldn't do that. Yes, we've got the problem, but serving God is still our first priority. So we have to look at that. I did some interesting research. The word suddenly appears in the New Testament 10 times, and the word immediately appears 55 times, and most of these are related to when God is moving in somebody's life. And I know I've been preaching long enough to know that there's some of you here that still don't believe that God does things suddenly, so let me give you proof. Somehow, we all like proof. We like evidence. When you got saved, how long did it take? Days? Weeks? Years? I don't know about you, but when I got saved, it was immediately. Amen. It was suddenly. And folks, I can tell you this, if God can completely cleanse us from our sins, if He can make us the righteousness in Christ Jesus and justify us and make us a child of God immediately, then He can do anything else immediately. He can heal people immediately. And I've seen that happen, and I know that you've seen that happen. I've seen God deliver people immediately out of all sorts of circumstances. I've seen that Him cancel debt completely immediately. I've seen Him move in many, many, many ways immediately. The Bible also says that He's coming back in the twinkling of an eye, and if that's not immediate, I don't know what is. So those two cases right there alone, us being saved and Him coming back immediately, proves that He does things immediately. Now I want you to look at one more example, and like I said, I'm trying to hurry through this because I've got a lot to say tonight. I'm getting just to the meat of it. But this example really shows how we need to act and behave while we're waiting for God to move. If you remember when Jesus ascended back to heaven, He told the Jerusalems to go back to Jerusalem and wait for for the Holy Spirit. How long did he tell them to wait? Anybody know how long he told them? He didn't. He just said, go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. He did not give them a specific time. God doesn't always give us a specific time. But the disciples went back to Jerusalem and they were actively waiting. They were praying and they were seeking God. And they did that a full 10 days. And we know that the Holy Spirit came down upon them. But what would have happened if they had to wait 20 or 30 or 50 days? They needed to keep waiting because Jesus told them to wait. He said the promise of the Holy Spirit will come and you need to wait until it comes. And they were doing exactly what they needed to do. They were actively waiting on the promise to happen. We need to learn to wait actively. He told them simply to wait until. God does not work on our timetable, but he works on his. I want you to think about this and really zero in with me. What would have happened if the disciples had waited, say, 5 or 6 days? They said, we've been here a whole week. We've been praying and we've been seeking God, and I'm sure they were even fasting at that time. We've been doing what God told us to, and the Spirit hasn't showed up yet. Obviously, it's not going to happen. And they went on their way. Folks, if they had done that, the church would have died right there. I praise God that they were actively waiting until it happened. Actively waiting. If God promises us something, and I'm talking about promises in His Word, we need to keep waiting for that promise. We need to keep actively waiting. We need to hold fast to our faith until it happens. In James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, James says, let him ask in faith nothing wavering. Now catch that. Let him ask in faith nothing wavering. In other words, you cannot waver at all. You cannot doubt at all. You have to stand strong. You have to be actively waiting. You have to hold fast to your faith. And he goes on to say, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now listen carefully to verse 7. For let not that man that think he shall receive, talking about the man that wavered, let not that man that think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If we are not holding on to our faith, and if we are not actively waiting, it won't happen. With the disciples and all of the people in Jerusalem, it happened in 10 days. In Joseph's case, it took years. And he was even in prison, wrongfully so. He did not deserve to be there. And some of us are in situations that we do not deserve to be in. That doesn't matter. We have to actively wait. We have to just keep on waiting, expecting, and believing that if God promised that it would happen, that it will happen. We have to keep on believing. We have to keep on holding on to the Word of God. And I want to give you an example out of the Bible of how, if we don't wait, it gets really, really bad. Remember a guy by the name of Abram? God said, Abram, I'm going to give you and Sarah a promised child. They were patient for a little while. But their patience wore out, and next thing you know, here is an Ishmael. Ishmael wasn't the promised child. In fact, to this very day, Ishmael is still causing most of the problems in the world. We're still having to change Ishmael's dirty diapers. And for those of you that don't know, Ishmael's family is over in the Middle East. The Iranians and the Iraqis, those are Ishmael's descendants. Isaacs are the people in Israel. That war is still going on today just because Abram was not patient and did not keep on actively waiting for the Lord. And God was true to His word. He finally gave Abraham and Sarah the promised child. And folks, our whole world would be a lot better off today if Abram had been patient and not tried to take care of things himself. Now, earlier I said we have to do things ourselves, but we don't go out and try to solve the problem ourselves. We try to be led of the Lord and do the things that He tells us to do. And I'm going to go more into that here in just a moment. But we have to wait until God intervenes. Wait until. And of course, I know the devil wants to tell you that you're going to be stuck in your situation. He wants you to think that your situation is hopeless, whether it's a family situation or a financial situation or your health or your marriage or whatever. He wants you to think it's absolutely hopeless. But if God gives you a promise, then cling to the promise and realize that there is never a situation that's hopeless. Last Sunday, I believe it was, I talked to you about the prayer of petition. One of the best things about that prayer of petition is you go to the Word of God, you study exactly what God's Word says about your situation, you put it down in writing, then you can look at it and you can stand on it because you're standing on God's Word. It will help you. The prayer of petition will help you to stand strong when the trouble comes. Because you're saying, okay, I've already done my homework. I've already studied God's Word. And here's what God's Word has to say. I don't care what the circumstances say. This is what I care about. We have to wait actively. Now, I told you that we need to be active doing things, but not getting in God's way and not trying to do things ourselves. Let me give you an example of that. Let's say that you're dealing with a financial issue. You know, a lot of times we'll say, well, my ship hasn't come in yet. Well, if you believe that God is going to supply all of your needs and that He's going to bring you out of debt, then you won't be sitting at home waiting on your ship to come in. You will be busy building a harbor of expectation. Now, think about that. You're not building your ship. You're not out there trying to build this ship to come in, but you are building the harbor of expectation. And what do I mean by that? You're not waiting on the couch, worried and fretting over this circumstances and situation. You're out there studying the Word of God. You're finding out what God's Word has to say about this situation, and you're doing exactly what God tells you to do. Again, going back to the financial situation. If yours is a financial situation, you're going to study the Word of God. You're going to see that it says that you're supposed to be tithing and that He will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You're going to study and find out that God tells you that if you will give, He will cause men to give back to you. And you're going to say, okay, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be tithing and giving, and God will take care of the rest of it. He said He would. You're not building your ship, but you are building the harbor of expectation, waiting on that ship to come in. You do your homework, you study the Word, and you find out what God says to do, and then you go do it. We have to be just like the disciples were in the upper room. I'm so glad that they did exactly what they were told to do. They patiently waited on God. They weren't frustrated. They weren't anxious that we ever told in the Bible. They just kept on praying and seeking and believing and doing what God told them to do. Now, folks, here's the whole point of this message. God does not always move immediately. Yes, he does, and I think we ought to, yes, he does sometimes, and I think we ought to get up every day going, is this the day that God is going to change it all for me? But if he doesn't, then we need to trust him and hold fast to our faith until he does. Just like in the story with the Samaritans. They were sitting there waiting to die. We have a lot of Christians waiting to die in those circumstances instead of seeking God and saying, okay, God, I know this situation is horrible, but you promised in your word that you can change this, and I'm believing that you will. What do I need to do to patiently, actively wait on you? And I promise you, he'll tell you, because it's in his word. No matter what the circumstances are, he's already told you in his word what to do. If nothing else, he's told you that he is a rewarder of those that believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And let me just share this with you as we close. The worse your circumstances are, the more that you need God in your life, the more you ought to be seeking him. The more time you ought to be spending in the word, the more time you ought to be spending in prayer, and the more fasting you ought to be doing. We act like this is a game when it's warfare. The bigger the enemy, we send out more troops and more armory and more weapons and more ammunition. We understand we're up against a huge enemy. But we as Christians just kind of sit back and fold up our arms and curl up and cower down. And that's not what God told us to do. He told us to be actively waiting. Actively waiting. In other words, again, praying and seeking him and fasting and doing everything we know to do according to his word and believing that God will take that and go above that. In fact, I heard a guy put it this way one time. He said that if we do what we're supposed to, God will take our natural and add his super to it, and then we'll have that supernatural. That's exactly what we need. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before you. I thank you for all of the examples in your word where you show us that you can and that you do move immediately. And Father, I know there's some folks here tonight, they need an immediate move in their life. Father, I just pray that you would help us, that we would be determined to hold fast to our faith, and that we would stand strong in your word, and that we would study, and that we find out exactly what your word says about our circumstances, and that we would hold fast to that, and we would believe that you're going to take care of it just like you said you would. And Father, that we won't doubt, that we won't waver, but that we're going to stand firm on your word, and we're going to wait until you meet that need. We thank you for it, Father, that you said you will, and I know that you will. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.